Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
When I was a kid, my dad was a Navy chaplain for a season. He was also a pastor, also a marriage and family therapist. But in the late 80s, I was 6, 7 years old. I should say eight years old. And we lived on this Naval Air Station. That's a giant hangar, and it was so big, and my dad's office was in there. I would go visit my dad, and there would be storm systems that would form inside the hangar, and it would rain in the hangar. And it's where my love for, like, military aircraft comes from. And then he got restationed to Norfolk, Virginia, and we moved to Virginia Beach. And it's the largest naval base in the world. You can see some ships on screen. So we got to be on aircraft carriers and all kinds of battleships. Me and my brother got to go out on little, what they call Tiger cruises, 3 days on sea. But my dad, during that season, would sometimes have to leave for deployments. They would sometimes 1 month, sometimes 3 months, and then I think once or twice, 6 months. And it was before we had the technology for phone calls and certainly things like FaceTime. So there was no communication with my dad at all when he was gone. And so what he would do is before he would leave, he would take all this time to write out by hand notes, really letters, to me, my little brother, and my little sister for us to read, not every day, but every other day, almost multiple a week. And he would record VHS tapes of him reading stories to us for bedtime. And when he was gone, as you can imagine, that was tremendously meaningful to us kids, because listen to how I phrase this. It was connection to my dad when I wasn't with him in person. And what I want to give you is three quick principles about God's word, titled God's Word to the Ends of the Earth. And then we're going to have a very special series of testimonies about what God's word is doing in the world right now. But my letters from my dad kept me in touch with him while he was away. And I want to let you know that the Bible is your father's letter to you. And if you're a note taker, that's your first fill-in. He wants to share with you the story of himself, the story of all creation, and the story of you, and the story of the great salvation he has invited you into through his letter to you. And I am praying that today you will have a greater sense of treasuring the letter he has given to you than you've ever had before as you hear these testimonies. And I actually want to read you one chapter out of Isaiah 55. This is from his letter to us. Turn there in your Bible if you want, or go there on your phone. It will be on screen. And I'm going to highlight just a couple verses, but we're going to make much of God's word and read this entire chapter. It's titled Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen closely to this part, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Let me read verse 11 again. The Lord says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thornbush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Can we say amen to God's word? So what this means is that his word is sent out with a purpose, and it never comes back without fulfilling that purpose. And his letter to you has a purpose in your life. But let me just remind you, you got to read the letter. You got to spend time in the letter. I hope you'll treasure this letter more than I treasure old copies of my dad's letter to me, though they're wonderful. Number two, the Bible is God's guide for you. It is literally a how-to manual on how you should live your life as a citizen of heaven. It points ultimately to knowing God. Let me encourage you. When reading the Bible, you don't actually read it just to learn the letter. The letter points you to learn God. You read the Bible to know the one who authored the book. It points you to your identity. It points you to the gospel, this great salvation. It gives you wisdom from heaven for all your decision-making. It helps you in your relationships. It actually commands you how to relate to people, how to work, how to use your money. Look how 2 Timothy says it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Number three, the Bible is God's power for you. It is your source of authority. When I was in Bible college, they made us memorize this definition. The Bible is God's authoritative rule for faith and conduct. Now, God's authority is both for you and against you. Sometimes his authority is needed to confront you in your sin, in your wayward ways. His authority is also there to build you up. Hebrews 4 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And sometimes it's meant to cut you. Can I get an amen? But only for the sake of healing, only for the sake of ultimately building us up. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It also builds us up. Acts 20, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, with which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I want an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Anybody with me? How do you get that? By the word of his grace that will build you up. The word teaches you who you are, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The Bible says that this word is your offensive weapon, your sword. Ephesians 6, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So if you feel like you're really losing the battle you're in, ask yourself, have I picked up the weapon in a while? Have I put on his armor? Am I using what he put in my hand? The word of God is what builds your faith. If James and Samuel and Heather, I think, have all mentioned a little bit today. If you're in that season where you desperately need faith, but you feel like your faith is weak, listen to this, Romans 10. Consequently, faith comes from, read it with me, hearing the message. And the message is heard through what? The word about Christ. You want to build your faith? Read the letter. Read the guidebook. Read the source of authority. Now here's a caution, and I'm about to end my little mini sermon and invite a special guest up. But here's a caution. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. I have many times been sharing the gospel with someone and trying to show them God's word and tell them everything I'm telling you right now. And when they read the book, they're like, this is crazy. This is foolishness. They mock the book. They mock the author of the book. They don't believe in this God. They spit on it, essentially. And I'm always reminded, it doesn't always happen that way, but when it does happen, I'm reminded, just reading the book, apart from the enlightenment of the Spirit, will do nothing for you. So as you read it, what you do is you humble yourself before God, like we always pray here, and we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. Give me understanding in my heart. Give me eyes that can see spiritually and ears that can hear spiritually, because without that, it's literally just a book. And the Bible actually says of itself that the letter by itself kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then your closing fill-in, practical response. You get to learn the Bible, live the Bible, and share the Bible. And this is why our first value as a church is just We are people of God's word. We want you to learn this book, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. I don't want you to just hear sermons that I preach and our guest speakers preach or whoever you follow on TikTok. I want you to crack the book for yourself. Put it on your nightstand. Study it. Find a scripture that God highlights to you and memorize it. Meditate on it. Fill your mind with truth. That's called living out the Bible. And then we're going to spend the rest of our morning on this idea. We're meant to share the Bible. We're meant to share his word. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Ends of the earth, we're supposed to be witnesses. And Jesus in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When Jesus said, teach them to obey everything he commanded us, he's talking about the book. This is what we are teaching you. This is what we are to teach and share with the world around us. So to that end, I want to bring up my friend, one of our longtime board members, a longtime member of this church, a hero of the faith in my book, Jim Bozeman. Now, before you clap, Jim, you can start to make your way up. But I want to, now I'm not saying it's going to take you a while. I'm just saying you can start. Jim has served faithfully on our board and just termed out, and we've celebrated him and honored him, but I want to do that again, and he's going to share an update about one of our Kingdom Builders partners called Gideon Bibles International. Who's heard of Gideon Bibles? Probably everyone in the room. He's worked with them for 40 years. Sorry, 4 years. But can we get on our feet and honor Jim Bozeman as he comes to share?
Good morning. My name is Jim Bozeman. I guess you just heard. You know, as we have opportunities like this, as Gideon's to come and speak in churches, we never know what something is going to happen during that service. Just a quick caveat. God's timing is always amazing. The last time I spoke in giving a Gideon report, much like what I'm going to do today, there was a family attending for the first time at the invitation of the Robinsons. God spoke through the testimonies that day to touch a heart. That day was a turning point in that family. Today they're serving in this church, and we thank God for that. And I'm not going to embarrass them by giving you the names. A couple of things I want to do. First off, to know that I'm trying to leave you in good hands going forth. Because you know the future here for me is becoming short. Okay? I want to introduce you to two people. Nanda Kathanini. Greg Kohler. In our first service, I didn't get to introduce him, was Gino Tabby, who is our newest member for our camp here in Williamson County. And we give praise for that. Thank you, guys. As I told Gino a moment ago, I said, I'm looking for someone to take the mantle and start, because there's a lot here forth with this. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this ministry called the Gideons International. First, as a quick introduction to the Gideons International, let me give you a quick, short history of this ministry, because it is long. It began this way. A couple of traveling salesmen, and this is not a joke, a couple of traveling salesmen had to share a room in Bosco Bell, Wisconsin, at the Central House Hotel in May 1898. Both being believers read from Mr. Hill's Bible as they had devotions that night. And they said, you know, it would be nice if we had an organization where Christian traveling salesmen could come together. In 1899, they met with another man by the name of William J. Knights and organized an association for traveling salesmen. A year later, a group of traveling salesmen all met and dedicated the name of the association to be the Gideons, based on the story of the book of Gideon in the book of Judges in the Bible. Quick tidbits to give you a little bit of a highlight of this ministry. November 1908, Reverend Burkhalter at the First Presbyterian Church in Cedar Rapids came to the Gideons in that area and says, "I think our church should buy the Bibles and have you place them in the hotels and motels." What a great idea. In 1941, the President of the United States, FDR Roosevelt, sanctioned the distribution of Gideon New Testaments to the military using the slogan, "Arm them with the gospel too." September 1901, card number 1700. For relationship purposes, mine is 159268. Card number 1700 was issued to then Vice President of the United States. A few months later, he became President of the United States. Can you guess who? Bully. If you don't get that, then you need a history lesson. December 1968, Bill Anders, since Elon is bringing back the lunar space program, I thought it was interesting from this standpoint. Bill Anderson on Apollo 8, as they rounded the moon, read from a Gideon Bible. Read Genesis 1. "In the beginning, God." There you saw the snapshot of the Apollo 8 crew, and then you see the iconic Earthrise, one of the most famous pictures or photos ever made in the space program. As was stated, I've been a member of this association for over 40 years. I can't imagine what my life would be had it not been for the Gideons International. It's been a blessing. It's been a challenge. It gets this little introverted guy out of his pocket, out of his little hole, and gets him up to speak before people like you, and that is a big deal. The Gideons International is an association of business and professional men and with their wives, interdenominational in scope, worldwide in outreach. We're organized in 199 countries, distributing the Bible in 101 languages across the globe. We're comprised of 300 men and women witnessing and distributing God's Word. In 2022, the Gideons International, in their distribution and placement, surpassed a milestone of 2.5 billion scriptures that have been distributed since its beginning. We're doing somewhere in the neighborhood of about 78 million a year. You just heard Isaiah 55:11. I'm going to give you my rendition because I learned it in the Authorized King James, and that's the way I quote it. "So shall my word be forth that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper whereto I have sent it." And you're going to see a very good example of that today or here. Mexico City, let's get around the globe and let's see what the Gideons are doing and how God's blessing it. A student in Mexico City yelled, "I'm a Satanist, I follow the Lord Satan." He had just received a testament from the Gideons and looked in it, and when he saw what it was, he became enraged and started taunting and yelling at them, all kind of obscenities and so forth. That little testament that he received, he tried to set it on fire. He says, "I want to show you exactly what I think of what you're doing and what you're passing out." So he took his cigarette lighter and tried to set it on fire. It never would ignite. It wasn't long. He took off. A few hours later, because he got scared that this was a special book, it was, he came back a few hours later to apologize. The Gideons took him aside, set him down, and went through the plan of salvation and led him to the Lord. And we give you thanks that those men were there, that you purchased the scriptures for them to be able to be there. This is one of my favorite testimonies. And from what we sung today, what we've heard you speak, this one touches me probably more than many that I've ever given. And this is with Todd Keough, is where it begins. At age 18, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was going to college, and he was a beach lifeguard. there on the oceans, the Pacific Ocean in California. During the college days, as he worked there, there was a homeless man that would frequently come by. His name was Walter. One day, Walter disappeared, and in the process, Todd had gotten a promotion got a job after finishing college to move up further north. And he hadn't seen Walter in a while and became real concerned about him. On his last day to the beach in his job as a lifesaver, Walter comes up. He's holding two testaments in his hand. He gives one to Todd. And you can relate to this. Walter told him, he says, I got these from some strange men dressed in suits. They're in California. Who wears suits in California, right? So he received the two testaments, had one for himself and one for Todd, and gave it to Todd. Todd just took it, shook his hand, said, goodbye, I'm gone, tossed it in a box, and off they moved. Todd became a teacher at a Christian school and was involved in the church as a youth pastor. Even though he appeared busy with the things of God, and a slow lull began to creep into his spiritual life, Todd was not growing in his faith and did not feel close to God. I don't know if you've ever been to that point or not in your life. Todd shared with a friend who encouraged Todd to step out of his bounds a little bit. The friend suggested combining the passion of running and a commitment to grow closer to God. The friend said, why don't you find a place where you feel like you can actually run toward God? I think we just sung that, heard Pastor Nathan speak of it, running toward God. In the northern hills of California, he was running up a hill. He found a path that led up into the top of one of the hills and up there. And he thought, you know, this would be a really nice place to have a quiet time with God. And he thought about carrying a Bible. He said, man, that thing's heavy. Taking a whole Bible up here every day I run, because the elevation change was 3 miles. So it wasn't a short run. Okay, so he happened to remember, oh yeah, Walter gave me a little orange testament. Perfect. So he took the little orange testament, took it up there. He put it in a Ziploc bag with some pens and pencils and buried it under the tree. So every time he ran up there 3 days a week for 2.5 years, he would go pull out the little bag, bring out the testament, sit there, read, and commune with God. He began to write things in the margins, what God spoke to him, what he was feeling, how things were going, and different things of that nature. He was getting a promotion. He was going to be moving further up north toward Concord, California. And up there, he was, before he left, he wanted to make one last run, pick up his testament, and take it with him. Well, he got up there, looked under the tree, and he saw the earth being moved, and he realized the testament was gone. He was beside himself. That's my journal, and it's gone. Everything that I talked to God about is in that journal. Losing it was hard on Todd. After he moved and got settled in, he tried to start it all over again. It was just not the same without the little orange testament. Finally, he just turned it over to the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait upon him. 10 years later, Todd received a phone call from a man named Hector. He said, is this Pastor Todd Keough? Todd confirmed he had reached the right number, and he says, I found your Bible. He goes, what do you mean you found my Bible? It's right here. He says, oh, no, it's the little orange one. Well, that piqued his interest, and he says, how did you get, where are you? Hector continued to share the journey of that little orange testament. You see, this is not a testimony about someone particularly coming to the Lord. This is the testimony of how God uses his word, and he goes forth and accomplishes what he pleases. And he had a journey for that little orange testament. And he began, my father received this book from a cellmate in Baskerville State Prison. His cellmate read all the little highlighted things in the margins, and he witnessed to my father. Because of that, my father gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as his cellmate was leaving, he bequeathed the little testament to Hector's father, who began a Bible study. And in that Bible study, hundreds came to know Jesus as their Savior. Hector says, I want you to know you can have your testament back now. And I want to encourage you, God can use your words and his word even after much time has passed. Todd responded, Yuki, you need to keep it. I'm not ready to have it back yet. Maybe God will use it again. Who knows? Todd thanked Hector for calling and carried that encouragement for the next 3 years before receiving another phone call. We've gone 10 years. Now we're going 3. Is this Pastor Todd Keough? The voice on the phone said. The man from Huntington Beach, California, had found the little orange testament. It was calling because he was one of the names in there with the phone number. There are 5 different names, the caller said, on the inside of that little book. And I have questions to ask you. The caller discussed several comments Todd had written in the book, in the testament. One of those being, did you really write the word of God as like a two-edged sword? And Todd said, yeah. Todd asked him if he had ever heard of the Gideons. He shared he noticed the logo on the front of the Bible, of the little testament, as you see here. It may be up on the screen too, I don't know. And I asked around to see, did anybody know Mr. Gideon? Nobody heard of Mr. Gideon. It wasn't long before he was introduced to this ministry. There's somebody else here that knew about that emblem but didn't know what it was, Nanda. Eventually, he found himself filling out an application to become a Gideon and was able to pass out New Testaments to the local high school. Back in those days, Todd had cried over that little scripture on the top of that hill, pouring his heart out to God. You see, it wasn't a journal. It was an encounter. My question to you, are you encountering God in your devotions? You cannot make up this kind of story. It just doesn't. People are not that imaginative. Only God can orchestrate such things. Let's quick recap. Testaments are purchased by people like you. A Gideon takes those testaments that are purchased, gives 2 to a homeless man. A homeless man named Walter gives it to Todd. Todd encounters God using the testament and writing all of that into it in that testament. The testament is stolen, but really, is God's word ever stolen? The testament resurfaces 10 years later, having been to jail, a Bible study in a prison, winning hundreds to Jesus, a father, and then a son. And then resurfaces again 3 years later as a possession of one who was ministered to by the pastor, a son of a convict. Let's move around the world. Thailand. From the darkest to God's marvelous light. In Thailand, and doing distributions there, Jakapan received a testament from the Gideons while attending school. Due to his family's Muslim belief, his mother asked him to throw the testament away but teach the Quran to his younger brothers. He obeyed and did what his mother told him to do. However, he kept the testament and read it for the next 4 years at school. When he told his parents he wanted to become a Christian, he was thrown out of the house. His father tried to kill him, but he escaped. Later, he went to Bible school and became a pastor. Today, Jakapan is a pastor who has impacted thousands of lives in Thailand. He thanks the Gideons for giving him that testament that brought him from the darkness into God's marvelous light. Moving around, Nigeria. A young girl by the name Omoyala was born in a Muslim family but had a quest to know God. She began to ask many questions that consumed her. Thoughts such as, who created the heavens and the earth? She knew it was God, but who was God? As a young boarding student, she observed some of her mates would often go to Fellowship of Christian Students. One day, she heard them talking about the meeting and talking about being born again in God's word. She approached them asking, can I go along? They said, sure, come on. And says, by the way, every now and then, the Gideons stop in and they give out scriptures. So sure enough, in her attendance, she received her testament. She couldn't have been more thrilled. That became a constant companion with her wherever she went, whatever she did. The more she read it, the more she was at peace and felt the love of God. She came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior through that testament. Today, Amayela is happily married, and she and her husband are followers of Jesus. Okay, we've been around the world. We've hit a few continents. Let's bring it back home. This is important that you hear this and listen closely. As an old pastor, I remember having would go, come in. I want to hear you to hear. You got to listen closely. Last December, I asked the Gideons in our camp, who is in charge of our scripture distribution ministry, to connect with the middle and high schools in the southern part of this county. He first contacted the school librarians offering full Bibles to be placed in the school library. For the librarians who accepted our gift, we provided an authorized King James Version and an English Standard Version. That opened the door to speak to principals. Franklin High School principal Shane Pantal wanted us to distribute 1,000 New Testaments to the students. But the superintendent, concerned about backlash from the ACLU, requested we bring scriptures to the school, place them on a table, allow the students to pick them up on their own free choosing. The result was this. There were 603 testaments picked up by students and teachers. The teachers also picked up 52 Bibles. So there was a total of 655 scriptures in Franklin High School in Franklin, Tennessee. Significance is this. I came back from D.C. more than 20 years ago. This is the first time in those 20 years we've been able to get a scripture into a school. This is where we are today. Because of things in the climate that has changed, things are opening up. So we took the opportunity and we're moving forward and trying to, as the old saying goes, while the iron is hot, we're striking. So in conjunction to that, so you know other things. When we can't get them at school, there's the Williamson County Fair. There last August, we distributed over 2,800 scriptures. In addition to that, if you know anything about Williamson County, you know there's the Deer Run Youth Camp. At the Deer Run Youth Camp, we have distributed over 1,000 in the every summer there. The thing is, sometimes we come and says, okay, Pastor, what we need is money, we need men and women. And that's what we come asking for. But today I'm going to tell you what the Gideons can provide for you. Okay? Life book. We provide this. I say we provide it. It's available to you. Under the covers, we support this and pay for them. They're free to you. All that a youth pastor has to do is go to thelifebook.com, put in how many students there are, and they will send anywhere from 2 to 3 times that many books. And they come in either Mark or John. And we also have a Spanish version for them also. The purpose of it is for the students to take these and give them out at school. You know, you talked about Matthew 28:19-20, 18-20. This is what that's all about. We're teaching them. We want to give the opportunity to teach them how to be witnesses and disciple those around them. That's what that's all about. Evangelical training. We have one of the best training programs there is on soul winning. We'll gladly come to here, to this church, set up a series of training programs. We'll help you overcome your fears, help you teach the concepts of telling people about Jesus from that standpoint. And it's like the other day, distributing at the fire station new at Buckner Lane and Duplex. One of the men, as I was distributing the testament, says something about, I asked him, did he know what this was? He said, no. And it was like, sick him. So I went after it because in the back of this is the plan of salvation. And I went down through that with him. So, Gideon cards. These are as good as any in format as any Hallmark card. But instead of you just giving a card that says, oh, sympathy, or better yet, flowers. And if you've had to deal with a funeral, you know, afterwards, dealing with the flowers for the family can become an ordeal. How about giving a Bible that's going to touch, have the potential of touching 2,100 lives in a 6-year span as it sits in a motel room? As your sons and daughter found out there in a motel. Okay. So as we do that, and you give it in memory of, it said, with respect to Abel in Hebrews 11:4, being dead, yet he speaketh. a person's testimony can live on beyond their life upon this earth. I ask you to do these things. Pray for this ministry. We need your prayers. We're fighting Satan every which way we turn. He is coming after us, and he is not backing down. And we have to be strong. We have to be diligent, and we have to be forthright. So we need prayers to do that, just like the schools that we're getting back into. Use the Gideon card that I just spoke of. Give a Bible in someone's honor. Maybe they're graduating. Maybe it's a birthday or something like that. They spend $5. Buy a Bible that's going to be a testament for them for 6 years. Purchase scriptures, as we're talking about today and we mentioned, that we can distribute to students, nurses, first responders, military personnel, inmates in jails, and placed in hotel, motel, hospital rooms, doctor's offices. That's where we go. In the new giving app, and I'll let Pastor take that from there. Let me just close out this way. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to represent the Gideon's International today to share with these people exactly something of what we do and where we go and what we do it for. Thank you.